Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is your brother Raheem, live and in living color. Today, wake up call. Time for us to wake up. This is our anthem. Good evening. I like to do my assertion first. I walk the path of being honest and good, and I will keep my mind focused on reading what you show. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of the enlightenment. I will get what I want. Okay? The age of freedom has come. That's our natural anthem. But it's not just going to walk up and smack you in the face. You got to work for it. If you don't work for it, they will not let you have it. Okay? Two things that's controlling your freedom. Politics and religion. The two things they tell you don't talk about, that's what should be on your mind all day long. If I don't understand. Well, I'm just going to say this and I'm getting into a little bit of love, because we always talk about love before we start anything, you know, but it's time for us to wake up. You follow what I'm saying? This country is a trust, and the trust indenture agreement of the Constitution. You are trustees. This is your country. The people that you vote in office are supposed to be trust managers. Supposed to be managing the company, managing the country for you to make sure they do what you want, not what they want. If I understand, they've been flipping the script. Okay, it's like having a company and all your workers doing whatever they want. They're not gonna get very much done. But that's what's going to be with Congress and the Senate and the governors and the mayors and city council and everybody else. You're letting them do whatever they want. It's time for you to wake up and start running your country, because it is your country, okay? We'll get a little more into that on another day. But this is a wake-up call, man. I'm telling you, we have to wake up and go to work. We have to wake up and get busy, or they will, you know, all these politicians up there, they're millionaires. And half of us can't even make ends meet from week to week, month to month. Something's wrong with the picture, and you can straighten it out, okay? Now, we're going to talk a little bit about love. They have us training us day after day, show after show, movie after movie about obsessionism. They have us thinking that obsessionism is love. No, it's not. Obsessionism is just that. You being obsessed over something but don't know how to actually love it. Wondering why you can't keep it. Wondering why the divorce rate is half the people that get married wind up getting divorced. Because the obsession wears off when the loving starts. What is love? Love is the act that makes others feel good. That's what love is. See, once you get a little obsessed with somebody, then you have to literally start loving them. That's a day-to-day process. 24/7, 7 days a week, 65 days a year. That's what loving somebody means. Loving somebody is when you learn things about them, you don't start pushing their buttons to piss them off, make them jealous and all that stuff. The heart has a neural net and it gives off hormones. The neural net is connected to your brain. It gives off hormones. And once you start pushing somebody's buttons, the heart remembers that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And after a while, it starts building up, building up, building up. That's why we tell our sisters out there, don't wait too long before you tell somebody what's going on and what's wrong. If you in a relationship and there's problems going on, don't hold it for a whole month. Start dealing with it right away, you know? Bring it up. Talk about it. Discuss it while it's on your mind. Because if you let it hang too long, that emotions build up, and bam, you got a big old fight. You ready to hurt somebody over something that could have been settled with a five-minute conversation when it first started. You know what I mean? Love is the act that make others feel good. Now, what does that mean, you know? And when they say, I want to love you. You thinking, oh, this guy want to throw me in the bed, or this sister want to get with me. You follow what I'm saying? That's not actually what it's supposed to mean. See, they've given you the wrong concept of every doggone thing. That's why we're in so much trouble. Here's what it means to love somebody. You know everything there is to know about that person. You got to start learning. From day one, what kind of ice cream they like, what kind of clothes, what their favorite color. This, all this stuff is important. What's their shoe size? What's their panty size? You know? I'm watching a doggone movie, Enemy of State. Here's Will Smith. He's going to buy his wife a birthday present. He's going to buy her a bra. He goes in the lingerie shop And the lady asked him, hey, what size besides your wife wear? He looking around. Oh, yeah, that size, that's over there. Playing with them things every night and don't even know what size they are. No worries, he loving her. You see what I'm saying? They give us the role. The guy bring home the money. The woman take care of the house. Why do you think they call you a housewife? They want you married to the house, not to the man. So the man can go out, work, do what he want to do. So his little wallows come home. You stuck in the house all doggone day long. Something's wrong with that picture, okay? You don't want to be a housewife. You want to be a partner. You know, you want equality in the house. But in order to do that, you have to set the house up how you're going to run it. And the house should be set up based on politics. I'm going to say that again. The house should be set up based on politics and religion. I'm telling you right now, that's how the house should be set up. If you're raising your house democratically, republically, is it a dictatorial house? Is it a matriarch house or a patriarch house? How are you going to run the doggone house? These things need to be established before you walk down that aisle, before Beyonce say, before you put a ring on it. You know what I mean? And your religion, what's his religion? What's your religion? That's important because I grew up in a house, in a household where one was a Jehovah's Witness and the other was a voodoo practicing Baptist. And boy, we got some heated conversations in my house, you know, when I was growing up. You follow what I'm saying? But, and they had a lot of problems around the religion and around the politics. We're actually very seldom discussed the politics in my house. You follow what I'm saying? Everybody was a Republican, and that was it. Back in the day, everybody was Republican back in the day before the crooks took it over. But anyhow, there's a lot of things you have to consider if you're going through a hookup with somebody and have it last for a lifetime. Now, that's how it's supposed to go. Biblically, the only way you're supposed to put your mate aside if they screw it around with somebody. If they do that, then you can kick them to the curb. Other than that, any other differences can be worked out, okay? Finances can be worked out. Whatever it is, it can be worked out. But it can't be worked out if y'all playing around with each other. That's not going to work. You follow what I'm saying? So we're talking about love. You know, women know more about love than guys do. I only talk about 5 minutes of love. Then I'm going to go into something else. But women know a little bit more about love than guys do. Give a woman a few $100, tell her to go dress a man. She'll buy everything he needs, the shoe size, the pants, the shirt, what type of underwear he likes, the tie, everything. He'll be dressed to a T, and everything will fit perfectly. Get a guy the same money, go dress your wife, man. He have to call his sister or aunt or somebody. Oh, what's a D? What's a double D? What's this? You know, they don't know. And he should know. Should know everything there is to know about his wife. Most men don't know the wife's favorite lip color, what kind of eyeliner she uses, what kind of makeup she put on, and what kind of under makeup and all. You know, you put makeup on before you put the makeup on, you clean your skin before the makeup and all that. Guys don't have a clue about what that is, but they should know. You go to the store, and your wife likes Rocky Road ice cream. When you come back, if ain't no Rocky Road ice cream in that house, you're supposed to be coming back with Rocky Road ice cream. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm talking about. This is loving each other every day. You follow what I'm saying? You have to learn how to love each other. Love is that others feel good. And if we can't love each other, when we get to these groups, it ain't going to work. Okay? Because there's so much conflict in it because we don't know how to deal with each other because we've never learned how to love. Okay? Some people figure it out and they stay together 40, 50 years. But it's becoming fewer and fewer people who figure out how to love each other so that they can stay together, you know? So I said, what about in the bedroom? Whatever he wants, whatever she wants, that's what's up. You know what I mean? Don't kid yourself. Because if they ain't getting it from you, they're going to get it from someplace else. Find out what each other like and go for it. I mean, keep each other happy. Love is the act to make others feel good. Because if you making her feel good, she making you feel good, you're going to be in a feel-good relationship. And that's what you want to be. But you have to talk. You have to communicate, okay? They say guys are from Venus and women are from Venus and men are from Mars. Because you have a communication problem. And here's a friend of mine. Here's what he tells me about communication. You're in a car. And the guy is driving. Woman in the back seat. A woman and a guy in the back seat. Now, if you got the window down, it's a little cold in the car. The guy said, yo, man, put the window up. It's cold in here. But the women are trained not to order the men around. They're trained to be subservient. So if she won't say, put the window down, man, it's cold. She'll say, you know, it's a little chilly in here. That's her suggestion to you, idiot, put the window up. But you can't hear that type of language. See what I'm saying? And when women make a suggestion like that, sometimes a guy just can't hear it. I'm telling him every day. I keep talking to him. But he seems like he can't hear what I'm saying. You're right. He can't hear what you're saying. And then he's saying things to you, and it goes in one ear and out you because he's trying to dominate you. Some women do not want to be dominated. Hey, yo, it ain't like that. Who you talking to, man? You know what I mean? But that's how guys talk. And that's how women talk. So you have to learn the languages. Don't get upset. Listen, if you're saying two things to each other and it seems like the conversation is hitting both walls, somebody got to stop and change this thing around and figure out what's going on. You learn how to talk to each other. You have to learn, and you have to talk. It takes a lot of talking to keep relationships together. You follow what I'm saying? A lot of talking, a lot of learning. Okay, I need to talk about 5 minutes on love just so that we can get a better picture, because this system is not teaching you how to love each other. They're teaching obsessionism. You don't want to be obsessed with nothing, okay? That's not how it works. You wind up killing your doggone self. You're so obsessed the person don't want you, you want to kill yourself. You want to kill them or kill anybody to talk to them. That's crazy. You understand? That's not how it's supposed to work. Once you learn that love is the act of making others feel good, when you're in your groups, when you're in the workplace, when you're doing things, you'll learn little things about people that's around you, and you do little things to make them feel good. Not that you're trying to hit them or anything like that, but now the workplace is kind of crazy right now. So whatever you're doing, if touching them make them feel good, don't touch. Don't do that, because that could get really, really crazy. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be mindful. You have to watch what you're doing, okay? Now, we're here. I'm here. Now, this is an interactive show. So anything I say, you can always hit push number one, and we can have a little discussion about it, or you want to say something, have a comment, or if you have a company or something and want to throw out some information about your company and your workforce, hit one on your dial, and I'll know that you have something to say, and I'll bring you in, okay? Now, this is a wake-up call, okay? Now, first of all, we're telling you what type of country it is, what the country is all about. Those of you who don't know anything about trust, you need to learn about trust, because a lot of things you can do in a trust save you money on taxes and everything else. So you need to start learning about that, okay? Also, this country is a trust. The indenture agreement is the Constitution, okay? You are, if you're born here, you are a trustee. Well, if you're born here, you become a beneficiary up to the age of 18. After 18, you become a trustee. That means you have the right to vote to push the country in the right direction. That's what you're doing when you're voting, pushing the country in the right direction. If they're doing stuff that's crazy, you know, I mean, hey, 100 years ago, half of us couldn't read. It's different right now. Everybody can read. We know what's going on. So if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, kick them to the curb. It ain't personal. What you want as a community, what you want as a group, you know what I mean? Vote in blocks if you have to make sure that these people will listen to you when you need something done. That's what the last election was all about. And they kicked Trump out. Boy, were they pissed off. We weren't supposed to, the regular people weren't supposed to vote like that. Trump incited something in the people, made them go to the polls, and they went to the polls and drove. And normally when the people participate, the country does better. I'm telling you, the country does better. Whether you vote Republican, it don't make no difference. But the country does better when the people participate. And that's what it's all about. Because these guys up there who are working for you, right, they know that if I don't do this right, my constituents will kick me to the curb. And they get a lot of perks. They make a lot of money in them offices. All of them are millionaires up there. Ain't no coincidence either. They're getting bribes. What's going on in the Congress and the Senate will literally blow your mind if you once you start checking out what's going on, okay? Now, we talked about politics, okay? Now, here's my biggest problem. My biggest problem is the religion. Oh, Lord have mercy. He's going to talk about religion. We got 40,000 different Christian groups, 20,000 different Muslim groups. We got 15,000 different Buddhist groups. We got, oh, man, we got all kinds of religious groups out there. If they're going to come in front, why are there so many groups? How come you got, let's say you take the Bible. We're reading the Bible, but you got 40,000 different groups. You got 40 different versions of the Bible out there. What's wrong with that picture? How are we going to come together to make the planet better if we can't come together, if we read, everybody read the same book, we got 40 different directions that we're going in? Something's wrong with that. Here's what's going on, okay? The Bible has its own thought process, okay? Its own thought process. Every group, all these different Baptists and Methodists and Jehovah's Witnesses and Seventh-day Adventists, all of them, they have their own thought process. They're taking their thought process, put it on the Bible. They're completely disregarding the Bible's thought process. Bible has its own thought process. A lot of people are putting the Bible on the side because the people with their thought process are coming together, arguing with each other about the different thought processes. One wants to convince you to be a Baptist. One wants to convince you to be a Methodist. One wants to convince you to be a Jehovah's Witness. And it's just on and on and on. How can so many groups have so many different impressions of the same doggone book? Something's wrong with the picture. It's a wake-up call. Now, the wake-up call is that the second coming of Christ has already begun. I mean, you don't know it's begun because they have turned you into an idolater. Now, wait a minute, Brother Reed. How they turn them into an idolater? Follow what I'm saying? They give you a picture. Some say the picture is white. Some say the picture is black. I've seen Chinese pictures of Jesus. When you begin idolizing these pictures, they give you a cross, put on your earring, put it around your neck. That's idolatry. What I'm saying, you watch American Idol. What I'm saying, the idols are now, the idolaters, they call themselves, what do they call themselves now? Fans. They're called fans. They're following people around. You talk to some of your children that are of a certain age, especially teenagers, 18 or 17, 18, and if they're into a particular sport, they know everything about the guy they like. They know how many stats, how many baskets he throw, or what he eats in the morning, every doggone thing, because they are worshiping the guy. They have become idolaters. They call them fans now, but they don't realize what's going on. Now, just like in the Muslim community, they're trying to turn Muhammad into an idol now. Everything's Muhammad this, Muhammad that, Muhammad that. Duh. You follow what I'm saying? They're trying to make him an idol. They went from, when he came, he tried to cut down on the idol worshiper, but they turned all those idols in the doggone Kaaba into one idol, and that idol is named Muhammad. That's what they're doing. Now we got one idol in the Christian community. That idol is named Jesus. You know what I'm saying? The Bible has a thought process all its own. It's supposed to bring you to power when you read it. Hello? It's supposed to bring you to power when you read it. I'm going to give you an example. Let's take the story of Joseph, right? Joseph saved Kemet. How did he save Kemet? He told Pharaoh, spend half, save half. That's the 50% budget. Told him to do that for 7 years. How would you like to have half the money that you spent for the last 7 years? Your pockets would be pretty nice, wouldn't they? Power. Now you got money to invest. Now you got money to do things with. You know what I'm saying? You're not chasing the dollar no more. See what I'm saying? You can get yourself set up where the dollar is chasing you. That's how it's supposed to work. That's how you get the money. But see, that's when you're reading the book for power. See? Now, if you're reading the book for the intellectualize, well, you know, they put him in a hole and his dad didn't treat the children right. And you go through all on and on and on, and you get together and argue, well, Joseph did this and he did that, and Pharaoh's wife did this. None of that matters, okay? Think about this. The three little pigs. The moral of the story is build your house on a strong foundation. See what I'm saying? Now, when God read that story, he don't worry about the three little pigs. He's going to build his house on a strong foundation. But men and women, when they read this story, here's what they're going to do. They're going to say, oh, wait a minute. How in the world can pigs build houses? Who were they? What city was they from? What country did they live in? What was their mother's name? Did they grow? Were they big pigs or little pigs? And how could a wolf have enough breath to blow a house down? Come on, man. Something's wrong with this. This is what the intellectuals do. And they get to arguing about, wait a minute. The pigs were pink. No, the pigs were black and white. Oh, wait a minute. I thought the pigs were brown. And it just goes, oh, and they get to arguing about it, have debates about it. What color was the pig? Did the pig have three legs or four legs? This is for the sound. This is how silly it sounds. But you don't get it. You don't get it. What they're trying to do is keep you from building your house on a strong foundation. If you don't build your house on a strong foundation, the house ain't going to last. You're going to be in trouble. And once you get in trouble, you got to go someplace to get help. Who you think is there sitting there to help you out? The same people that's causing this mindset of yours to have you going crazy. You follow what I'm saying? Well, you have Moses. You have Moses, and was Moses really real? I have evidence that there's no archaeological proof that Abraham and them every lived, or the dates don't match up. And it's just on and on. You can cut some of these shows on. They're arguing and debating like crazy. One thing about Moses, you don't come from? Once you get past if you're not caught up on a story, when the tribes gave Moses all the money, that created a centralized banking system. Where do you think they got the idea from? You don't think they come up with all the stuff on their own, do you? You follow what I'm saying? Before King James, now just think about this for a minute. Before King James redid the Bible and told them how to use the doggone book, same thing with Constantine, showed them how to read the book, there was no British Empire. There was no British Empire. Think about that, okay? Here you got people throwing the book in the trash. Oh, that's a crazy book. It don't make no difference. You have to wake up and smell the coffee. I'm telling you, that's a wake-up call. I'm telling you what's going on. The Bible is one of the most powerful books that was ever written. But you don't know how to, you're not reading it for power, okay? You're reading it to foster the thought process that's not the Bible. The Bible has its own thought process. This is what we're going to carry you through. That's why we say Bible 2.0. This is Elohim, Five Tribes, Society of Love. This is what I represent. Wait a minute. What five tribes are you talking about? Black, brown, red, yellow, white. The five tribes have to come together, okay? And before we get a little more into the Bible, I'm going to drop a little information on it. Each tribe had 2,000 years to rule. This started 10,000 years ago, which the white tribes turn now. Their time is up. What do you think all this insurrection all after? Their time is up. Well, what we don't know is that the other four tribes had a global empire, and it took the white tribe 800 years to get out from under your rule. When they celebrate 1776, they're not selling their independence from Britain. They're selling their independence from you, from the other four tribes. They finally conquered the Americas, okay? They tried to conquer the Americas five times. They failed. Even their greatest general, Napoleon, jumped out there. He got his butt whipped. You understand what I'm saying? I'm just telling you what's going on. This is a wake-up call. The five tribes have to come together, stop arguing, fussing, and fighting with each other, You know what I mean? That's so you can learn how to run the planet. The biggest problem is leadership. Oh, wait a minute. Well, we need leaders. Why? Once you learn how to cross the street, look out for the lights and the cars, why you need somebody to lead you? You can't walk across the street by yourself. You don't know where you're going. You understand what I'm saying? You don't need leadership. You need followership. You need to follow you. Here's the beauty about the Bible. That they're not telling you, okay? I'm not in a position to watch time, so it probably won't do no commercial or not. So I'm just going to keep going through. Now, remember, if you have a comment or something you want to say, hit one on your dial. And that'll let me know you have something to say. I'll open up your mic, and you can jump in. You can dialogue. You know, something say, wait a minute, brother. That don't sound right, you know what I mean, or whatever. You know where I'm coming from? Just hit one on your dial, because this is an interactive show. You can jump in if you want to, okay? In the meantime, I got a whole lot to say. You follow what I'm saying? And a lot of us do. A lot of us do have a whole lot to say, okay? You're taking the book. You're throwing the book in the trash. This book was left to you by your ancestors so that you won't get into trouble. President Hansen and them, they knew this, okay? I'm just drop a little information on you. President Hansen and them knew this. When they set up the Continental Congress, all five tribes were there. The poor white trash that Britain kicked out of the jails and the prostitutes and all that stuff over here, they was involved. The Moors was involved. The Native Americans was involved. We were all involved in that Continental Congress. They were suppressing this information because they don't want you to know. George Washington and them, once they made him a general, he pulled the military coup. I'm just giving you some information that they've been suppressing from. He pulled the military coup, ran off with the country, and changed the name. He knew that this was always the Americas. He knew that. You know what I'm saying? Before they even came here, it was called the Americas. Okay? He pulled the military coup, went to war with Britain, and lost. They didn't win no. They didn't win their independence. This is the United States is still a colony of Britain. Read the Treaty of 1812, and it will tell you exactly what I'm saying. Just Google it up, Treaty of 1812. You read that sucker, and you'll see that no country who will win would sign a treaty like to take the people back. Come on, man. You know, I'm just giving you a little bit of information. George Washington didn't want to work with blacks, didn't want to work with women, didn't want to work with the underclass or poor white trash. They didn't want to work with nobody. They wanted the upper elite white folks, white male men, to run everything. And when they did the military coup, right, that's what the fighting was all about. The North and the South, that's what it was all about. If they weren't coming from, so when they lost the Civil War, right, they went to work on a political side because they couldn't beat the free the people that was fighting for freedom. They couldn't beat them. From they were fighting to keep people as slaves, not just white folks, not just black folks, white folks too. They'll slave anybody. They don't care. Coming from. And when they lost, they went into what we call critical race teaching. I know you're hearing the term. The children are beginning to figure out what's going on out there. They went into critical race teaching from the Civil War. Well, this is after the Civil War, after they shot Abraham Lincoln. Because Abraham Lincoln was doing some pretty good things with the Freedman Rule and all that. He was trying to set up the greenbacks, I think they were called. You know, he's setting up banks. Abraham Lincoln was trying to do something nice for the country that would have really settled the country down. They killed Abraham Lincoln, and they went on a political bench. And this is why the losers of the Civil War have statues and bases named after them, because they went into the political arena. And they were doing everything they could to keep you from voting. Still doing it right now with redistricting and all this kind of crazy stuff, because they know where the power is at. The people are the power of the country, for real, for real. But the people have to come together and vote. You have to run this country. You run this country. Your vote runs this country. This is the wake-up call that I'm giving you. You know what I'm saying? Now, we're going to get just for a minute into the thought process of the Bible. This is so important. So important. The Bible has its own thought process. They're coming in. The Israelites have a thought process. They're putting on the Bible, the Christians, the Baptists. Everybody got their own thought process that they're giving to the people to put on the Bible. but and they're totally disregarding the thought process of the Bible. I'm going to give you some keys here, okay? Those of you who are listening, or those online, I appreciate you being here. You know, I haven't been on the air that much, but I'm on the air. I should be here every day. No, I will be here every day. No problem, okay? Now, I tried to get on the other day, but I had problems with Block Talk Radio, but they fixed the problem. They told me there was a problem, but they fixed it, so I'm on the air now, okay? Let's go through the thought process of the Bible. It's a learning tool of how to build empires. That's what the Bible is, okay? And before we get further, I want to say one other thing that you can check out. In 1630, Britain passed a law to make white people white people. There were no white people. They weren't considered white people before they passed that law to legalize white people. They were called Romans. They were called Greeks. They were called French. They were called Russians. They were called by whatever nationality they came from, okay? Because in Rome, in Greek, in Russia, they had black Europeans. They had black, all five tribes represented in all the countries. That's what was going on, okay? But what they did, following the Bible, after King James rewrote the Bible, right, showed them how to use it, they wanted an empire. Okay. Now, if you can check this, there was no such thing as a British Empire before King James redid the Bible. All right. Deuteronomy is the science of slavery. Hello. That's what Deuteronomy is. The quickest way to build an empire is with Deuteronomy. Okay. You want something, just go in and take it. You know, what's easier? To try to build it on your own, just go take it from somebody else after they build it. You want coming from? Listen, okay. Deuteronomy is the science of slavery. What they've done, they passed the law legally, making white people white people, and then they start passing statutes and acts to make themselves the chosen people. You know how God took care of the Israelites? You follow what I'm saying? Well, they became the chosen people, and they've been running the country as they've been running the world as the chosen people since then. But people are waking up. This is why they don't want you to know how to read this book, because you can see what they're doing. You know what they're doing. You follow what I'm saying? They didn't just enslave you because they knew about slavery. It's a science to it. And Deuteronomy is the science of slavery. So any Bible thumpers out there, go take the book, sit down and read it. Read it for what it is. You know what I'm saying? Now, let's get into the thought process. I'm just giving you some of the thought processes of the Bible, okay? We weren't about the story like the three little pigs, but it's not about that, okay? The stories are to keep your attention so you can get the message, all right? That's what the stories are for. Now, you know, they didn't know all that much about judicial systems and what to charge for this fine and what to charge for that fine. They didn't know all that. Read Leviticus. It'll tell you, if the priests mess up, they have to pay a cow. Somebody mess up, they have to pay fish, or they have to pay that. This was the judicial system. This is how they learned how to set up a good judicial system. You follow what I'm saying? Between this and the Old Testament and the New Testament, you know what I mean? With the 12 jurors, hello, you follow what I'm saying? 12 disciples of Jesus. This is where they're getting it from. They're using the book to get power, and they got us running around reading the book to become scholar. Oh, I'm a Bible scholar. I know every word in the book. Don't know what they mean. You follow what I'm saying? Oh, well, according to this means that. We go to the Hebrew, this means that. And they're good at it. They're really good at it. And you can watch them debate on television all day long. They're debating about the book. But they're not debating about the Bible's thought process. This is what they don't want you to have. They don't want you to have the Bible's thought process. Because then you'll know how to come to power. And they don't want that. All right, I'm just talking about the 1%. They come in all five colors. All five tribes have their 1%. You know what I'm saying? So we're not putting this blame is not on no one tribe. All five tribes had their 1%. The black tribe ran this thing for 2,000 years. They didn't do, we didn't do that good a job because we had the wars and killing, and we couldn't keep it together. Brown tribe, same thing. Yellow tribe, same thing. Red tribe, same thing. The red tribe was the last one then. That's why the Americas were the last one to go down. See what I'm saying? The red tribe. How about the redskin? Talking about, you're starting to get the picture here. Then the white tribe took over, okay? They're not doing a good job. Why? Because they want to build real quick. And to build real quick, the quickest way to build an empire is through the teachings of Deuteronomy, which is the teachings of slavery or choosing one people, elevating one people, and suppressing the rest. This is what critical race teachings is. Elevates one people and suppresses the rest. Give you an idea. Malcolm X and all them talk about it. They ain't just food cake is white. The only food cake is black. You know what I'm saying? All the cartoons, and they got one black cartoon. He got to be Daffy. I'm just saying, you know, they're giving the guy credit for discovering electricity when 2,000 years before he was born, they had bad batteries. They had machines that was making clothes that ran off electricity. They were gold. They were electroplating gold. This was before this guy even was born, but yet he get the credit because he was flying a kite. I mean, just think about it for a minute. This is critical race. This is critical race. They are suppressing everybody else and pushing themselves to the top. Like they did everything, and they did it, but they didn't. They weren't the first to do it. They got it from someplace else. The Wright brothers invented the plane. No, they did not. They put an engine on the plane. The design for the plane came from Kemet, and then it came from Kemet, and they're using that design today. It's called the Herculean Transport. It's the exact design of the plane they got out of Kemet. That's the largest plane that the military has, called the Herculean Transport. You can look some of this stuff up. You know what I'm saying? Look it up. I'm just going through critical race teachings for a couple of seconds. Then we're going to get back into the thought process of the books that's making people powerful. It's not no coincidence that the people with the Quran and the people with the Bible are the most powerful people on the planet. That's not a coincidence. How can you take a book that's made people the most powerful people on the planet and throw it in the trash? What are they reading that you're not? You see what I'm saying? Evidently, they're seeing something in this book that you don't see. Coming from. So I'm getting ready to wake you up. This is what the wake-up call is all about. I'm going to let you see what they're seeing. So you know, if you decide that you want to go after power, you have an idea of how to do it, not just go. But we got money. If it was just about the money, the black community, we would be the 23rd richest country on the planet, and there's over 100-something countries out there. That's how much money we take in. That's how much money we spend. So it's not about the money. You understand? It's about understanding on what power is. Okay, that's what this is all about. Okay, let's get into the thought process of the book. Why they love this book? You can't go to a hotel. You can't go nowhere. The book is sitting right there. And so they don't know how to read it. Give it to them. Let them all have it. Because when they first came over here, it was by penalty of death if they taught you how to read the Bible. Because the old timers, when they first came, they knew how to read the Bible, and if they taught you how to read, they would teach you how to read the Bible for power, not just to be an intellectual, because they knew how to read it. And they said, by penalty of death, you teach these people how to read this book. They don't mean read the words and understand the scriptures. That's not what they were talking about. See what I'm saying? Key. Here's the first key. Psalm 82:6. Ye are all gods. That's what it said. That's the key. Everywhere in the book, this starts the thought process of the Bible. Everywhere in the book, when they talk about God, they talk about men and women. Wait a minute, brother. That don't sound right. Well, that's what the books say. See, I'm not talking about your programming. See what I'm saying? They got you thinking, oh, Lord, Jesus, he's the creator of everything on earth. You know what I'm saying? Prophet Muhammad, he's the all see all, you know, because Allah told. You gotta say, oh, Buddha, oh, Lord, have mercy. No. You see what I'm saying? Everywhere in that book where they say God, they're talking about a man or a woman. Well, let's go to Genesis. Let's go right there. deal with that thought process. God created the heavens and the earth. Now, if the book is saying that God is men and women, that means we had the technology. Think about this. We had the technology to make planets and suns at one time. Are we coming back into that knowledge again? Yes, we are. The moon is a satellite. We got satellites up there right now. It won't be long before we'll be doing greater things than that. Why? Because God is a designer. I'm going to say that again. God is a designer. That's what you do. See, this is what they don't want you to understand. If your life ain't going right, things ain't working good for you, get you a pencil and piece of paper, sit down, figure out what you want, and design a way to get it. We want you to come up into the thinking of God, because that's who you are. You're a designer. That's what God do. If God made the planets and the earth, he had to design it. It didn't happen on a coon fly coon. See what I'm saying? The scientists, okay, they're in there studying, how did we do this? This is how they're thinking. How did we make this planet? What's it made out of? How many molecules and chemicals? What the chemicals are made of? They're trying to figure out a way of how and who designed this stuff and what did they use to design it with. They're working on. Now, where did the scientific methodology come from? It come out of Kemet. All that work come from that area anyway. You follow what I'm saying? Read what you sow. That's science. If you sow two chemicals together, you're going to reap a reaction. You put mathematics on a reaction to control it. That's science. They don't call it read what you sow because they don't want you to know what's going on. Oh, they have good ways to hide things from you, okay? And I'm telling you, they got you so programmed that now I'm giving you the thought process of the Bible. And you look and you say, wait a minute, something's wrong with that. No, you never heard this before because they're not telling you what's going on because they don't want you to know who you are. Because once you feel as though you can design things as good as they can, then we got a problem. You know, the 1%, they don't be on their hands and knees praying for nobody to come do nothing for them. They get on the phone. They need a house, they call an architect. They need plumbing, they call a plumber. They need electrical work, they call an electrician. They call designers to design what they want. They know what to do. You know what I'm saying? But you sitting here, your roof leaking, you praying and go, oh, Lord, help me with my roof. Call a roofer, man. You know what I mean? Why are you praying? And you got guys that are experts as roofers. Call them. They come and fix your roof. They'll even give you credit and let you pay a little bit at a time. You know what I'm saying? This is a wake-up call, okay? We're going to be talking about the thought process of the Bible for a minute, if I understand. We're going to get into the tyrannical scripture some, too. For those of you who are familiar with people online that might know, that know about the tyrannical scriptures, that's a sacred doctrine book. So we're going to do a lot about it. We're not going to talk a lot about it, but we will talk about it, okay? Right now, this is Elohim Five Tribes Society of Love. We have our website. You can go to it. And if you have something to sell or something that you're making and you want to sell, then all you have to do is call us. We'll put it on our website. We need more stuff on our website so people can come and order it. Now, whatever the price that your product is, you get your full price because the public pay the shipping and handling, okay? I just want to put it out there. You go to Elohim Five Tribes Society of Love. Go to our website. You can see what's going on, okay? Also, I got a CD on the market, too. You can go to Amazon, Walmart, CD Baby. Well, CD Baby is the one putting it out. But you can go to any of the outlets, and you can buy a CD. If you want to just listen to it, go on YouTube. Listen to Elohim's Christ, and an album will come up, okay? Oh, I see a hand up. So let me... I almost missed that. I got the run in my face, boy. I'm telling you. Oh, boy, we only got 10 minutes left, too. I should have been paying more attention to the clock. Okay, let me get where I can see the number. That would be, what is that? That's number 5665. What it is? Hold on.
Yes, Brother Elohim, 7566. Yes, this is your sister Malika. How are you, brother?
Hey, what's up, Brooke? How you doing?
How are you doing? I am well. It's so good to be on the show this evening. I couldn't wait. Yesterday, I was very disappointed because when I received the message, I then received the message that, you know, things, technical difficulties was happening. But I'm so excited. I want to say hello to all your listeners. Greetings to everyone. And, you know, this, I miss you all. I miss, you know, this nourishment that that's so long overdue. And it just feels really good to hear your voice on the air and, you know, just you doing your thing. I'm so, so happy and inspired just, you know, by your conversation that, you know, you always bring your best foot forward. That's for sure, my dear brother. And I love you for that. Thank you for sharing.
Well, thank
always.
You very much. I'm so glad you called in because you guys have been on my mind. Are you back from Africa or you didn't go? Or what's going on? Because I was trying to call you.
Yeah, guess what? Well, we're going to Africa. Samaya and I will be leaving Sunday, God willing. We will be leaving.
Okay.
We will be on a flight Sunday afternoon, and we will not be back until July, sometime in July. So I don't want to give out dates, but, you know, I can talk to you. But, yes, I would. I put it out there for, you know, those that wanted to take the trip with Samaya and I.
Okay.
It was open. You know, I know Sister Pinda will be taking the trip as well with me. I don't know if you're familiar with Sister Pinda, Gloria. Sister Gloria.
Yeah,
Okay. Yeah. Yep. She'll be meeting me there. She'll be arriving a day before. Well, she's taking a 7 hour. It's 7 hours ahead of me. So she's leaving 7 hours ahead of me, which is going to put her in Tanzania a day before me. So, you know, we'll be staying together, you know, on this journey of learning and love and experiencing the beauty of the motherland together. So will Samaya. Oh, yes. So we will be leaving here on Juneteenth, June 19th. And Siddiqui is still there.
Great. That sounds great. Yeah, because I was wondering if y'all were over there, if you went yet, if you come back. I was trying to find out what was going on. And it's so good to hear your voice. So good to know that everything's going well and you guys are still hanging in there. I love it, love it, love it. Yeah. So, so the site, I don't know if you've been to the site, lady, but the site is up. We have things on the site that you can order, right? We're making stuff on the site. She got unk up there and some flowers and a few other things, you know. So we're working deals now we're trying to broker deals now with the major players like the computer companies and all that stuff, you know, food warehouses and all that. You can come on and order food and everything like that. Yeah, so that's good. And you're leaving Sunday, huh?
Yeah,
okay.
We're leaving Sunday. We're leaving on Juneteenth, Sunday.
Okay.
June 19th. Yes,
June
19th. We will be off to the races, honey. We, inshallah, God willing, we will be, you know, on that plane. We have everything in order. So we're definitely looking forward to it. Siddiqui is still there. He's going to be coming back when Samaya and I and Sister Pinda, when she comes back.
Okay.
We're all coming back at the same time. Yes.
Okay. Well, we have a lot. There's a lot going on. And so by the time I come back, we should be pretty much in full swing over here. By the time y'all come back from Africa, you know, and there's a few things that we got going on. It's all about to make that money. We need that money.
Give my love to my dear sister Shakia. I love her. Tell her I send my blessings and my prayers and just all good things and, you know, to happen, come her way and you know, the family, So, yeah, please let her know that I have not forgotten about her and I am here. So,
well, everything's going pretty good. We're holding down the fort. And hopefully when y'all come back that we'll be able to get some of the flags on our website.
Yes.
Get some flags.
Yes,
and some,
I mean,
some
but
red,
your music is awesome, brother. Yeah, but your music is awesome. I'm so happy I caught the introduction. I'll be so excited when I get on right on time. Now I see why you tell everybody to get on time, sign on time. You know, get sign on time because you be having a treat for everybody. Your music is awesome. You sound it's so liberating, so moving.
Well, that's the national anthem of Elohim for our tribes.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah,
so
that's
beautiful. I love hearing your voice. It's the melody of it is awesome. I love it.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate that. We only got about 3 minutes, so I got to close out. But look, call so we can chit chat at least about the 12.
Okay.
I'll pretty much be here every day. Now that they got the site working again, I'll pretty much be here every day. So it's time. There's so much. We're missing so much out here. You know what I mean? And
we know.
Okay, so I'm gonna close out and stay in tune, okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, listeners, and my family. Peace and blessings. I'm on still.
Okay. All right. Well, as you heard, this is Elohim Flower Tribe Society of Love, Toronto Church of Christ and Allah, and we're here bringing you a wake up call because we have been asleep for so long. And it's time for us to wake up. It's time. I've told you earlier when we first started that the second coming of Christ has begun. Don't be looking for no guy. Don't be looking for no woman because it ain't going to come like that, okay? The consciousness will be delivered to you directly. Okay, you won't need nobody to hold your hand and tell you about what Jesus did here and what John did over there. You won't need that anymore because the consciousness will be given to you directly. Now, the consciousness, you said, well, what consciousness is he talking about? This consciousness, the oral tradition of the consciousness started with the Dogon. From the Dogon, the written tradition went to Isis and Osiris. From Isis and Osiris, it went to Amun-Ra. From Amun-Ra, it went to Ubanishad. You're not familiar with Ubanishad? Look it up. From Ubanishad, it went to Buddha. From Buddha, it went to Jesus. And from Jesus, it went to Muhammad. These are the last days. There's no guy going to come in here doing miracles and try to teach you how to wake up. You follow what I'm saying? The thought process of the book will be enough to get you on your square. This is what we wanted to be talking about. Now, we're getting ready to close out. I mean, I have walked the path of being honest and good, and I eagerly embrace all that I have done to return to me. So let it be written, so let it be written, so let it be written, so let it be done. This is your brother, Elohim Christ. This is your brother, Elohim Christ, signing off. Now, we'll be here every day, so you might not get a message from us, but we'll be here. So just chime in. 8 to 9, we'll be here every day, and I have some information for you. I've been holding back, too, waiting for a certain thought process to come to me to find out, to push us where we have to go. And it's time. The Christ consciousness is returning, but it's not coming as Jesus. It ain't coming as, you follow what I'm saying? It ain't coming as a guy to walk around and heal your legs and you know what I mean, because we're scientists. We're getting pretty good at that ourselves when you go to the hospital, you know? I mean, you know, bringing back the dead, somebody died, we throw some electric on them, wake them up. You know what I'm saying? And we're getting better and better at it. If you don't come from now, what we need is a spiritual consciousness, that consciousness that permeates the entire universe to flow through us so that we can begin to do things without worry of failure. That's what's going on, and that's what's coming to us right now. So God, I'm telling you now, go out here and do what you got to do. Be successful. Design what you want and bring it into existence. That's what you do, okay? With that, I'd like to say much love, and we'll chit-chat again tomorrow.